Glad to see that you all made it this morning. Or maybe you meant to go to the 8:30, but you made it here. In the movie The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, I don't know if you've ever seen that, it's a great movie. Life magazine has been sold and a transition manager is hired to move the company in a very different direction. The problem is, he doesn't know anything about the company, who the company is, or why the employees like working there. He makes decisions affecting the lives of the people, but he doesn't even know the company's motto that inspired many of them to work there. As Christians, how well do we know our own story? How well could you explain the gospel to someone in 2 minutes? In our first reading from Deuteronomy, Moses instructs the people that every time they bring the first fruits of their crops into the temple in thanksgiving to God, they're to recite a summary of their salvation history. And he lays it out for them in a spiel that takes about 1 minute to recite, about how their ancestors became enslaved in Egypt, and how God worked signs and wonders for them to give them their freedom, to give them a covenant relationship with Him, and to bring them into a land of their own. The Christian gospel is very similar, maybe along these lines. God created us for relationship with Him. Tempted by the accuser, we rejected that relationship. But He sent His beloved Son to restore us and to save us from the grip of evil. And He established His church as a safe refuge in which we can grow in relationship with God and with the whole communion of saints all the way into heaven. I encourage you to write out your own 1 to 2 minute version of the gospel, of our story, of our salvation history. In the second reading from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, he gives a very succinct summary, not so much of salvation history, but of what is needed to be saved. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. We can ask the question, saved from what? Some people have left the practice of religion because they don't know salvation history. Or maybe they don't believe it. Or maybe they don't believe that they need to be saved from anything. We have peaceful, comfortable lives. Apart from heartburn over politics, what do we need to be saved from? I think that's where the gospel steps in. Jesus had just been baptized in the Jordan, where the voice of the Father and the Spirit coming down, that visualization of the Spirit, revealed Him as the divine Son of God. And right away, as He leaves the Jordan, that same Spirit leads Him into the desert for 40 days. Why the desert? To be tempted by the devil. The word devil, diabolos in the Greek, literally means the accuser, the divider, the separator. He's the one who rebelled against God with an eternal hatred. He hates God and anyone else who's attached to God. Everything he does is to try to disrupt the plans and the working of God. He has set himself up as the anti-God, though he always remains a creature, albeit a very, very powerful creature. And he claims this world for himself. In the gospel today, he said, "All the kingdoms of the world have been given to me. I have the power to give them to you." Jesus himself, elsewhere in the gospel, refers to him as the prince of this world. In other words, every human being born into this world is born under the dominion of the devil. And if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, then we will be saved. Saved in a twofold manner. Saved from the malicious hatred of the devil. Saved into a relationship with the God who made us and loves us. In this gospel today, the divine Son of God models for us how to deal with this malevolent accuser. From the baptism in the Jordan, the devil knows that Jesus is the Son of God. But he always wants to subvert divine plans. He wants God to be an act other than how God is. So he's always saying, if you're the Son of God, then show this divinity, show this power in this way. But that's not how God acts. And he waits until Jesus is at his weakest, as he mistakenly believes. After a total fast of 40 days, Jesus is hungry. Perfect time to tempt his humanity with food, with power, with fame. But the devil is incapable of realizing that Jesus' 40 days of fasting were a deep communion with his Father in the love that is their Holy Spirit. With his kind of fasting, he was actually strengthened for this diabolic testing. Notice that he responds to the devil's accusations by quoting scripture, by quoting words of truth, inspired words. You know, in some ways, the highest use of our mouth and our tongue and our words is to speak the words of God. That's what we were made for. Ultimately, to have the Word of God, Jesus, on our lips. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. How often are the words coming from our mouths godly words? How much time do we spend praying with Scripture in order to deepen our relationship with the divine Word, Jesus Christ, and with His merciful Father? Jesus teaches us that our fasting must be about emptying ourselves of the stuff of this world, the viewpoints of this world. Our fasting isn't about a diet to lose weight. It's about emptying ourselves of all that vanity. In order to create a space to be filled with the grace of God and the Word of God. Sometimes we need to be emptied of food. Sometimes we need to be emptied of a desire for power or fame or worldly security. Think back to our responsorial psalm, beautifully proclaimed today, that says, God is our refuge and our fortress. He's our security in whom we trust. This Lent, let's empty ourselves of the promises of this world's prince and accuser who clamors that we will only be satisfied with food, with power, with glory, and political security. No. The Lord alone is our certain and secure refuge and fortress. Do we really want to trust in worldly wealth? The gospel teaches us that our Lenten fasting must be connected to deepening a relationship of trust and love with God and His Word. It's when I'm hungry, right? That's when I realize, on what does my life depend? On food? On the stuff of this world? Or on God? Here's the homework for the week. Write out, in your own words, the essential salvation history. But first, do a little fasting, a little emptying, a little praying, a little connecting. and a little reading of sacred scripture, a little inspired, being inspired. Lent is about emptying ourselves of the world so that we can be filled with God.